For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hello, what's going on, everybody? Welcome. Happy Thursday to you. Happy May 5th. Big Ace here. Got Wes with me. It's another Briscoe and Big Ace show. We got a very special guest joining us today. It's been a while, Wes, since we actually have a guest on, so I'm pretty excited for this.
Yeah, everybody. Not only do we have a guest, we have one of my best friends, my road dog, somebody that I've spent over a year and a half every single day, like, on the road with. One of my homies went to a whole nother country together. We've sold out shows. We've done pretty much everything together. My good buddy, Mr. Garrett Bischoff.
That's right.
Man, that's a whole lot to follow right there.
Yeah,
it's dude. True, though. Your guys' history runs deep.
True, it does. It very much does.
History really does run deep. The whole evolution of my career, like when I first started in FCW, I was in the ring a lot, but I really didn't get that TV exposure and that worldwide exposure until I was tagging with my boy Garrett. Like when we started out tagging together, that's when I blew up, and that's when really the whole world found out who Wes Briscoe was. And luckily, I was tagging with my road dog, Mr. Garrett.
Oh, yeah, we definitely had some fun. I'm sure we'll get into some of those here as we go through this evening.
Yeah, man, definitely. Well, I wanted to, first of all, like, I know how you got started, like, kind of a little bit with doing, you know, the ref stuff. But I never really asked you, like, how did you get started in the beginning? Like, what was, like, where did you first, like, step your foot in the ring? Like, what was your first ring experience?
Because you were around it most of your life.
Yeah, he was around his whole life. But when, like, he was probably, like, me, like, dabbed into it. But I want to know when he, like, was, like, kind of was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going all in, you know?
Yeah. So, and like you said, you know, like just like Wes, you know, my dad started back in AWA. And I don't, you know, I can't recall what year it was, but I was too young to remember. You know, I was probably 4 or 5 years old, maybe. I mean, I was pretty young. And I can remember, I do remember a little glimpse of him bringing me to those offices, though. That was when I first, my first experience around it, as far back as I can remember.
Was that Minnesota?
Yeah. Yep. So we were still living in Minnesota. You know, my sister and I were born there.
Where in the Twin Cities area?
Yeah, that's where we were born, and then we moved out to a little out into the country to a little town called Prior Lake. Well, it was Little Bend. If you're familiar with it, yeah, Prior Lake.
I'm an hour south from that whole area.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. Cool little area. You know, I love it. I still like to go. Every time we get to go back to Minnesota, I still like to go out there and visit that area. There's two little places we like to go that I can remember being a part of when I was a kid. But anyways – so AWA was it, and I can remember him taking me to those offices and run around, and that was my first experience of meeting these larger-than-life characters, so to speak. And the joke is, and I don't remember this, probably for obvious reasons, but Wahoo McDaniel was in the offices one day, and my dad tells me that he had me picked up by my ankles, and he dropped me right on my head. So when they asked me, you dropped on your head when I was little, yes, by a big Indian. I always like to say Wahoo McDaniel. I took my first bump from Wahoo McDaniel.
So what other? I actually have some questions about, like, what other? Because I have some crazy stories about Wahoo. What was like one of those stories that you remember of Wahoo?
I don't. I was so young. I was so young, and I can't recall how long Dad was there, but by the time I started getting old enough to, you know, understand what was going on really and remember, you know, what was going on or what was happening, we were moving to Atlanta, and that was when he started.
Hot Atlanta.
So that's, you know, I guess it could go as far back as that. Cut out all the middle, you know, all the WCW stuff that everybody's heard me talk about 1,000 times.
Yeah, we don't want to.
It was, I had always said that that's what I wanted to do. I want to do this. I want to try it. I want to be part of this some way, some shape, some form. And the longer my dad was in the business, the more he would try to talk me out of doing that. Yeah. They've been through it and they've seen it. I mean, your dad more so than my dad. But they know how brutal it can be, how cutthroat it can be, how unpredictable it can be. You know, it breaks up. I mean, it is what it is. It's a shit show. It's a shit show lifestyle. It is, you know, even for the best of them. So he tried to talk me out of it for a long time, and I was persistent. I guess it was probably 23-ish, right when I really said, okay, I'm getting, you know, I really, really, really want to try this. Okay. And things had started turning around with TNA at the time, and he had just started getting involved with TNA, and I was like, well, maybe this is a good way for me to get my foot in the door. Maybe I could start here. And of course, he tried to talk me out of it, and when he realized that just wasn't going to talk me out of it, he finally said, all right, if I can't talk you out of it, then I got to, you know, then, we'll, you know, obviously your mom and I are going to back you up, but, you know, support you 100%. It was then that we decided to go out to California and enroll in Knox Pro, which is Rikishi's lesson.
See, this is why I'm like, it's so funny. We've been friends for so long. And like, I knew we trained together at Knobs, but I never knew where you like, because I was like, there's no way Knobs could have taught you like, you know what I mean? Some of the skill that you have, like, there's no way. Like, I was like, wonder where he like, and that was the question that I always wanted to ask you, but it's crazy. It just never came up. And we've always like, since we're such good friends, we never talk about wrestling.
Right.
So now it's kind of weird because I don't ever talk about wrestling, but it's just like, but okay, cool. I'll let
this
you
is literally that. The only time you talk about wrestling.
Yeah. He's right. Usually when we're out there, if we're out hanging out together, if we're talking about wrestling, it's going over what we're going to do. But once the match is over, it's all right. Where are we going to go get food and a drink and call it a day? So that's where I literally broke in at, was out there. And at the time, it was Rikishi, Reno, with Black Pearl, and David Heath, Gangrel. He was the head coach. Oh, yeah. So Gangrel was literally he was my head coach from day one.
Dude, that's awesome. So crazy because we came in full circle with Gangrel so many times where we've wrestled him, we've tagged with him.
I just watched a YouTube clip of you guys tagging at his school recently.
Yeah, that was against the Headbangers.
Yeah.
That was an interesting one.
Was that the one at the strip club?
I think it was at his school.
It was Yeah, it was at his wrestling school.
Have a show at the strip club. Sorry to throw you under the bus, Dave, but have a wrestling show
at the strip club. So that's where it all started. I was out there for, about, 8 months or so. And they were in the process of moving buildings, and there was some downtime in between the time that their old building that they had to be out of and they were going to be into their new building. So in that downtime, I ended up going back to Wyoming. Things kind of happened very quickly at TNA, and I mean, literally overnight, it was probably sooner than it should have. I probably wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I know I wasn't. But well, it was what it was. It was like, you know, hey, sink or swim. Let's, you know, get the opportunity. Let's give this a shot. Let's go.
That's one thing I've always, when you said you weren't, I think you were. I think it was just God just saying, let's go. Like, sometimes you got to take the opportunity. I don't care what anybody says. If you get an opportunity shown in front of you, and especially in the wrestling business, you never know when that opportunity will come up again. Because in the wrestling business, opportunities are like that. So yep. If you do get one, I don't care if you're ready or not. I mean, we've seen it with everyone. It's just you busted your ass and you did capitalize on it. You didn't blow it, so you did great. So I don't think you went too soon. I just think that you had the opportunity, and like anybody else, you went for it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You both had great. I mean, the stuff you guys both were doing when you first came in at TNA. I mean, just the people you were working with in the ring and stuff. I mean, that's amazing. That's so great. Now, I want to ask you this, Garrett, because when you first came in, was it Jackson James?
Yeah.
So where's that name come from?
So my middle name is James.
Okay.
We decided that we're going to do the referee thing, which was really cool in its own sense, because kind of going back to where I was saying, I really wasn't probably ready to be on TV doing that shit. I got to continue to learn inside the ring from a whole different level that most guys that wrestle don't get the opportunity to see. And I had Brian Hebner and Earl Hebner, those guys are legends in their own rights. And they took me under their wing, and I was able to really, you know, learn the mechanics of how a match goes and see it from a different point of view that, like I said, most guys don't get to see, at least in that perspective for that period of time. So that was really cool. And, you know, those guys were great. And kind of to bounce off what you just said, Wes and I had a lot of people there that were – they could have been dicks. They didn't have to be as cool as they were. You know, guys like Samoa Joe and AJ and James Storm and Ken Anderson and, you know, Bully and Devon. I mean, all these guys, they didn't have to be as cool as they were, being knowing who we were. They could have stiffed us and you know, ate us up and walked away, and they didn't. They were all very gracious. They were all very cool. They took the time to work with us and work with me, and it was very cool for them to do that. They didn't have to.
Yeah, I mean, it that's a stacked roster. So, I mean, obviously you guys were doing something right to be in the mix of that. You know what I mean? It was fun, though. I do remember being like, wait, Eric Bischoff's son is the referee? And TNA, and then just seeing it unfold how it did, because you guys. Now, when did you and Wes first meet, though?
Oh man, it was
technically when we were little kids.
I mean, we'd met a handful of times growing up over the years. We never had gotten super close. I didn't live in Florida at that time. But we had, you know, our paths had crossed, you know, a dozen times, and so we knew who each other were, and we, you know, hung out when we were backstage and stuff like that. But it wasn't until when he came, I think it was a gut check, right?
Yeah,
it was a TNA gut check, and you know, that it was again, and I was his gut check opponent.
Which, by the way, I watched that recently, and that pin was, I love that pin. I love it though.
Who showed us that? Christopher Daniels?
Either Daniels or Al Snow. Might have been Al Snow.
Yeah, it was. I forgot who showed us that pin.
That was fun.
It made me pop again watching it on YouTube. I was like, oh shit, look at that! Yeah. Like I forgot about it. It was great.
Yeah, it was a really good experience. And like too, like being with Garrett. Like I've just moved back from Puerto Rico, so I just came back to Florida and. It was cool to have someone like, because I didn't really know too many people. I just came back, and then like me and Garrett just instantly bonded, and we like started traveling and like hanging out, and like it was really cool, like that whole experience. And then especially just like how we said transformed on. Yep. But another question I've been wanting to ask you was like, what was your first motorcycle? Like, what was your first like bike?
Like. First ever, like dirt bike or like big boy bike on the street?
No Yamaha 110 or, you know, 125 or 250 or maybe even had the 450. But those things are a hell of a thing to start. But I'm talking about your first, you know, real bike.
So it was a, it is, I still have it. I got, it's a 95 Harley Davidson Bad Boy Springer.
What?
And that's still the bike I ride today. I still have it. 22 years. I've been driving the same Harley for the last 22 years. I'm 37 now. I got it when I was 16.
Is that one? Is that the one you drove to the, to one of my properties?
Yeah. Yeah, the Springer. And I just put ape hangers on it since then, but yeah.
Yeah, the ape hangers on that thing. And then I know you have another bike that I know a lot of people would flip out if they even heard you talk about this bike.
The old NWO chopper?
Yes, that's something that we got to – I don't really like talking about wrestling, but that's something we kind of got to go into. Tell me about that bad boy.
Cool. Collector's heaven right there.
It's
horsepower.
It's still out. It's at my boy's shop out in Arizona. He's got it right now. It's been sitting there dormant for the last, I think, 4 years. I just got to figure out a somewhere to put it. I don't have room here for it. But yeah, so it's the bike that, so that there's only two of those bikes built, one for my dad and one for Hulk. And it's a hardtail, rigid, rough riding, kidney beating, back breaking son of a bitch, but it's a bad mamma jamma. I love that bike. And I think Hulk, I believe, just sold his or donated and for charity causes. So all the proceeds went to a charity foundation. And I'm not sure where, but I'll get it out here in Florida one of these days.
So I'm guessing, is this the notorious bikes that was in Botchamania that one of the guys gave Hogan the wrong bike to drive out on, and it was for his birthday? They did it on TV.
I don't remember if that was the one or not,
because it was a birthday gift, because Hogan was looking at your dad and was jealous because your dad had a better bike than Hogan has ever had, and Hogan was jealous. So your dad was like, what can I give, you know, Hogan something that no one else could? And he was like, remember how Hogan was like, man, I really like your chopper, Eric, like really put it over his bike. So I guess Hogan figured out a way to do it on TV, where it was during NWA, where he brought out a bike, but someone brought out the wrong bike. But I don't know if he brought out like Eric's bike, your dad's bike, instead of like Hogan's bike, but I don't know. It was a huge ordeal, and your dad had a course, you know, he's such a stud. He covered it up on live TV by yelling at the guy and bring the real bike, and he covered it up really well.
I'd have to ask him. I don't remember that. I don't recall that story. I'd have to ask him.
Yeah, ask him about that story. It's actually pretty funny.
I will. But yeah, so I got that bike. I got my Springer. I have a 1979 Shovelhead basket case in my garage right now. It's in pieces and parts. It's just a frame.
I love the old shovel heads.
Two wheels. I don't even have a motor for it yet. It will be a shovel head. It's a shovel head frame without a motor. So that one will take me probably in a 3 or 4 years to complete and build, but it's just something to go tinker on, and I'm not going to do anything crazy to it. It's got a suicide shift. It's all set up for suicide.
Yeah. Those are
yeah. It's a death trap, especially around here. But
yeah, see, that's the only bad thing about, like, some places in Florida having motorcycles. Like, there's some awesome places to ride in Florida, but there's some deadly places, because it's not the motorcycles, it's the people not paying attention. The people that, you know, just easily just go over to the left lane or right lane and just swerve right over, and they don't look in the mirrors, and they don't think to, you know, even check twice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I'm on that bike 10 times, 8 out of 10 of those, I have a close call.
Yeah, and they wonder why people have their Harleys and motorcycles so loud. It's not because we're trying to get attention. It's so people can
hear. I'm trying to get your attention. They don't
hit us. Yeah. That's the whole point. No, they need to know. You don't hit us. At least you can hear us. Maybe if you hear us, you won't hit us.
That's it. Loud pipes save lives.
Yeah, right, man. So another thing I wanted to get into was...
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Your ink. Like, what was, like, some of your, like, when did you start, like, fully going, like, all right? Because when I first met you, you had some ink. But you didn't really go. You had a little bit though. You didn't like.
I had a half sleeve.
Hard in the paint. When did you decide? You know what? I'm gonna go hard in the paint, and I'm gonna get inked up.
So I mean, I got my first tattoo when I was 16.
And yeah. Okay.
I knew it was on from there.
There's a difference between tattoo and being inked up.
Yeah. It's not a lie though. Like when you get one, it's like a drug. You just have to keep getting them.
Yeah. It's Pringles. Once you pop, you don't stop.
Right.
So right now in this day and age, you know, CEOs have full sleeves and stuff, but that's fairly newer, you know, 15 years ago, 18 years ago, when I was trying to get into that business and on TV, it wasn't as, you know, that was a lot more, not frowned upon, but
it was, no, it was it,
like I, when very I few that. People were allowed to do that. You know, Taker was one of them, you know, but you just didn't. And you didn't want that to be a reason. So my dad was just like, don't do it. You know, obviously I was a grown adult. He didn't tell me what to do, but he very much, he's like, just don't. And then as time went on and more it became more acceptable, then everybody had them. So then when you didn't have them, you stood out. Yeah. So that was a part of it. I guess to answer your question, Wes, when I decided to pull the trigger and say, fuck it, I don't care anymore, it was when my contract ended and I knew I wasn't going back. I'm like, eh. That was the only reason I wasn't. So here we go.
You're like, all right, it's time to get scribbled on.
So then I finished off two sleeves. I have probably
your leg,
three quarters of my right leg done, half of my left leg done, and I got a full back piece that I've started. I'm about 65-70% way through.
All right. So how many, both you answer this actually. So how many hours total you think of work is done on each of you right now?
Oh gosh. 24. I mean, I'm probably looking at an easy 200 hours maybe. Ish.
Wow.
Maybe a little more.
Wes, you're like full leg, right?
I'm around 1,000.
Man.
Yeah, I'm like right at 1,000 hours. I have it all written down. The last time I didn't write down the last time I got tatted, so that's why I think I'm around 1,000 hours. But yeah, once you start, you can't stop. And then like once you go in, it's like,
thankfully, my tattoo guy is super fast because the older I get, I can't sit anymore. Like an hour and a half, 2 hours, I'm like, all right, we're done. I'm out.
Dude, I'm the same way, man. Like, it's so funny. I used to be able to sit for like 6 to 7 hours. Now I can sit for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and it's pushing it. Like last time, I literally looked at my artist and I was like, dude.
Yep,
plus, I was doing like the inside of my stomach.
Yeah.
So it was like right at like the kid, like I was like, all right, man.
Yep.
I was like, to be honest, can we finish up like another day? He's like, really? And I was like,
yeah,
I just look at me. I was like, I got enough tattoos. I ain't trying to be tough.
I've got my tattoo stripes. I don't have anything to prove to anybody anymore.
Right.
Exactly. And I was like, I'm done, man. He just looked at me. He goes, I'm the same way now. And I like laughed. I was like, then why did you say anything? He goes, I just wanted to see. And I was like, man. Yeah. And my tattoo artist is like from here completely covered. And he's the same way. He can only get tattooed for like an hour. And he's like, I'm done. I'm over it. And that's super funny.
Hey, yeah, my tattoo guy, all his tattoos are probably 30 years old. I was like, how come you don't do anything anymore? He goes, because it fucking hurts and I don't want it anymore. I'm over that.
it just doesn't rub the right way anymore. After a while, you're just like, oh, it hurts. I don't want to do it anymore.
No. And then between that pain and then sitting in just awkward positions, my bones and joints hurt and back gets tight and it's like,
Yeah. Yeah, well, and you guys have done enough to your bodies that, like, just sitting in one spot for that long can't be comfortable at all.
Like, I keep saying I'm close to getting done, but it's probably a lie.
Yeah, right. That's all right, though. As long as you guys are happy, that's what matters, man. I'm so far behind both of you. I have a lot of work to do to catch up. I want to get back to a couple wrestling things because that's kind of how we do it. We go in and out.
Yeah.
I want to talk about aces and eights, guys. I was watching stuff because I knew we were doing this.
If you're current on TV right now, if you have a smart TV like a Roku TV and you
Pluto,
download
right?
the Pluto app, we're on 24/7. There's a channel called Impact, and there's nothing but Impact Wrestling on.
Yeah, it's very cool. I watched, though, your guys's turn. The heel turn and then the next show after where you guys got on the mic and gave your promos of why. And again, just the heat that you guys drew, even before you were officially, like, you know, when you guys were like then full on. But I mean, just the heat you guys drew as a group. And when you two joined and made it clear and you screwed Angle over. Oh my God, it was beautiful. It was so good. It's stuff that I miss nowadays half of the time. You know what I mean? But I mean, what was that like for you guys? I mean, first of all, again, both of you coming in pretty fresh. You're working with Angle. You've got Hogan, Flair. Your father is involved. Like, all these names involved. But I mean, you guys came into probably one of the best, if not the best, heel faction that ever existed in TNA and Impact still to this day.
I mean, yeah, it was freaking awesome. To be a part of something, I'm sure Wes will agree, to be a part of something that, and at that time, there hadn't been an edgy group like that in anywhere, in any organization. It had been since basically, I mean, since the NWO, since anybody's seen it. I'm not saying there wasn't groups or factions that didn't do good, but not that had that edgy feel to it like the Aces and Eights did. So it was a lot of fun. You guys are going to bear with me here.
Oh no.
Oh, we lost him.
He knew something was coming too. That's why he was like bracing for it. All right. So I'm going to put him in the waiting room. So it's just us till he pops back up and then I'll pop him in. Seriously, I rewatched your guys' heel turn though. And it was just
wonderful. Do you know where that was at?
Now, am I right? Did it happen? Did it happen overseas?
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
We got you, buddy.
All right. So I'm technology challenged here today, I guess.
That's right. I'm going to kick your other thing. There you go. You're good.
So your
guys' is heel turn. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was overseas. That was over in Europe. That was the UK was the first one, I think. And then we were in Wembley, London. Might have been the next one.
When you guys did the in-ring stuff, the after the initial turn, I don't know where it was, but it was huge. It was a huge arena, it looked like. And those Europe crowds are great.
Oh, they're like, awesome.
They were hot.
They're awesome. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And we did. Yep, it was the United Kingdom. That was the one we did because we scaled the cage at night. That's right. That was so much fun. The adrenaline, every time I think about that, I still get goosebumps because that adrenaline rush from that night and hearing that hot of a crowd and getting that much just anger out of people. And it wasn't just anger because that's what they knew they were supposed to do. They were legit pissed. And it was
right.
It was fun.
At one, it was funny. I was standing right next to Garrett, and you could literally hear a pin drop because everybody went,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we were like, fuck you, bam, 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 bam. And it was insane. And then the rocket ship just took off, right? I would say.
Yeah, it was great to see, because I remember watching the gut check match, and it was like everybody was behind both of you then, you know, and you guys had whole crowd.
See, there was a while before we revealed ourselves. Me and Garrett had tons of matches where we were based together. And then it was a long time before we revealed ourselves. I mean, we were some of the later people to reveal ourselves.
And to see the gut check crowd and like the baby face crowd you guys had, and then to see you guys on the microphone after the actual turn in the cage, and just how the crowd hated both of you. It was amazing. It was amazing. Like each time, like when you both got the mic in hand, I mean, that crowd didn't want to hear nothing. And it was just, oh, it was so beautiful.
Well, that's the whole point of being a heel.
Oh, yeah, I know, but that's how good you guys were, what you were doing and Impact and what Aces and Nate's doing.
Yeah, like no, yeah, I remember one time I looked at Garrett and I forgot, it was when Bully was doing some of it's when he told Hogan that he was part of the Aces and Eights, and I remember them throwing so much trash inside the ring, and I was like, you don't see stuff like that like at all, like that's something that's like does never in a million years, except for the old NWA days, you see heat like that where people, if you can go on YouTube and actually watch it. So if anybody doesn't believe me, and they actually stopped it, it got way worse than what you can see. But towards the end, they threw so much trash into that ring. Garrett, wouldn't you say that was like one of the craziest things?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, they were getting hit with everything under the sun. You know, we were keeping an eye out for heavy objects flying, for sure.
Yeah, You remember that one time I got yelled at because someone in the crowd gave me a beer and I came backstage and I had a beer in my hand and I got yelled at and Chavo grabbed it and chugged it right there and then was like, well, that was my beer.
Good times.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I would get scared watching you guys go through the crowd during those days because I thought, like, I was legit. It was like, dude, someone's gonna punch these guys, and this is gonna go very sour.
Punch who?
Like, anyone? Because you know, fans are dumb at times. A lot of times. Like,
dude, you know the squad we had with us?
Oh no, yeah.
Some of the biggest, scariest people in the world. You weren't gonna. You might think about it or like say something, but if you looked and we ganged up on, plus we never went alone. We were with a squad. So what's one person gonna do against four people that are all jacked up, huge? Me and Garrett are the smallest people, and me and Garrett are pretty big guys, and we're next to all guys that are 6'6", 6'5",
right?
And someone's gonna say something. We instigated. We tried to get people, wouldn't you say, Garrett, to do stuff?
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, that was the fun part about being that close to the crowd. You'd let them get that close and instigate, and they would get that angry. And you know,
Garrett was the worst. Garrett would get people so wild up. Garrett would get in people's face and say, cut promos on everybody while he's walking down. And people would get so mad at Garrett. That was one of my favorite things about Garrett, was when he would just cut promos on people just walking down. And they would get so pissed off at him.
Well, and I never got – it's not fun to get all tough with them. So, you know, I kind of learned that from my dad. You know, it's a lot more fun to, you know, say, oh, what's the matter, sweetheart? Are you having a bad day? Come here, I'll give you a kiss. You know, I mean, just stuff like that.
Garrett would always be like – people would get so angry.
Oh, that's great. So it's great because you don't see that anymore, man. At least I don't, and I miss that. I miss being passionate about hating or loving someone on a wrestling show. I really do. I want to ask you this though too, because you had the chance to work with your dad and you hit him with a guitar. How much of when you were doing that was like, hey, remember all those days you grounded me, or you did this, or you didn't give me this? How much of that came back when they're like, you're gonna take a guitar to him tonight?
you know, to be honest with you, and everybody asked me that question. To be honest with you, I was so nervous about that match. Yeah. And there was so much going on. That thought really never crossed my mind. It wasn't until he started beating the shit out of me with that kendo stick that I really started going, all right, I can't wait for this. you know, and he lit up and he beat the hell out of me with that thing. And it's funny because then he, you know, he did that and then I smashed a guitar over his head. My mom didn't speak to either one of us for like 2 days.
Yeah, but so what's been on Mr. Garrett's playlist? What have you been bumping out lately? Like what's been on your playlist? Like what have you been jamming out to?
You know me, I listen to a little bit of everything. Everything, you know, I got some metal and some heavy stuff, a little bit of that country hip hop kind of, you know, I'm like Moonshine Bandits, I'm a big fan of, and Up Church, and but I can jump from that to Metallica to George Jones to, you know, Hank Sr., Hank Jr., up to, you know, Linkin Park. I mean, I'm kind of all over the map. So it's, I got a pretty heavy mix of a pretty good variety going on.
My next question I was going to ask you is, have you talked to Knobs at all? How's he doing?
Hopefully he's doing all right. I think he just had a birthday. But I haven't talked to him in a hot minute. It's been probably a year or two since I've seen him or talked to him.
Yeah, me and Garrett used to spend some time with Knobs, so that's why I was asking. Me and Garrett used to do some training down at when Knobs had a school back in the day, but we used to go in there and use his ring and watch him just go crazy on kids. But it was fun. He's a good guy. He has a good heart.
Once
he gets that liquor in him, that's a whole nother story, though.
Yeah, booze will do
you're
that
long
to
the ride at that point.
Booze will do that to you.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Oh, no, I'll let you go, Ace.
Well, I was going to go back to the music, man, because, you know, obviously this last year and a half, things been way different. But what I was going to ask you is before everything got shut down, did you go to any, like, shows? What was the last concert you went to? Like, what was your last, like, cool live event you went to before this whole lockdown happened?
I hit a Moonshine Bandits concert. And those, you know, we're friends. Nice. Those are my boys. So anytime they're in town,
no way.
And meet up with them. Yeah, they're good dudes. In fact, that's where, I mean, if I use one of their songs, Dead Man's Hand, that's my entrance music. I got their okay to use that. That's my entrance music. Nice. At ARW. Yeah.
So the Dead Man's Hand, that was that the remake of the Aces and Eights song that they did?
No, it had nothing to do with the rest of it. They just happened to call it Dead Man's Hand.
You remember when we had that one group actually do a song with lyrics?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep.
That was cool.
I don't remember. Yeah. So I hit one of their shows, and then before that, the last biggest concert was I think Five Finger Death Punch.
Nice.
It was either Five Finger Death Punch or Kid Rock. And I don't remember. I hit them both in the same year. I don't remember which one was for her last, but I'm not I don't like crowds. I don't do concerts.
Dude, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%.
I just don't do well. After about an hour and a half, as much as I like to be there and be there in the music, waiting in lines, paying $15 for a beer and getting shoved around, I just, my fuse is short. I don't tolerate it very well. So I become not such a fun person to be around. So I don't do a lot of those. They're few and far between.
Yeah, dude, I'm with you, man. When I go now, I go like to the sides out. I'm out from everybody. And as soon as it's starting to get too crowded, I'm like, hey, okay, it's time to go, man. I don't want to be around this. I don't know. And the pandemic made it worse. Now I'm really just like, I don't want to be around big crowds at all now. But
yeah, but
that's just because I've gotten so used to being not social for the last year. The only people I see are my coworkers, which is ugh. A year and a half. It's been nuts, man. It's really been nuts, but
yeah, we won't talk about that stuff. But what else was I gonna say? Oh yeah, what about your love for classic trucks? Because I'm kind of jealous because you have something that it's one of the trucks that I've been dreaming of having. Tell me a little bit about that little custom baby you got.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm a car, I'm a toy junkie, and I like old school shit.
Nice.
People always ask me, "Oh, if you had a, you know, Ferrari or a Porsche?" I'm like, I don't. I'd take either one, sell it, and then I'd go build a badass '69 Chevelle or an old, you know, an old 1970 K5 Blazer and put that thing up on 30s. You know, that's just, I like old American muscle. I have a 65 Ford 100 single cab short bed up at my parents' house in Wyoming. That's where she stays.
Well, I think it's a bad man. I thought I saw it in Florida, or were you getting it done in Florida? Or
no, was it ever in Florida? I thought about bringing it down, but it's got no power steering, it's got no air conditioning, and those trucks, you know,
no AC in Florida, not going to work.
No, it's just not. And, you know, they're too easy to steal, and that truck would disappear. I got a custom paint job on it, and I mean, it's not like a show truck, but it's nice. And, that's my, every time I go back home to Wyoming, that's what I drive. It's a 390 with a four speed. Yeah. Dual exhaust, Flowmasters, you know, headers.
What?
MSD. Nice. It's all, she's all done. Up, so I'm thinking, my dad and I were just talking actually, because it's a two-wheel drive truck, we're actually thinking about lifting the body and taking everything off and swapping it to a 4x4 frame and then putting 33s nice. On it.
Hell yeah. So, hell yeah.
They do that, maybe the next time.
Yeah,
so do you do all this yourself, right? You gearhead, do you like, you get in there and just restore a lot of it yourself?
No, I mean, I would like to say, yeah, I do a lot of it myself. I don't. I come up with my concepts, you know, obviously what I want. And obviously the truck's there in Wyoming and I'm here in Florida, so there's not much I can do. I just don't have the time to learn how to do all that stuff the right way. You know what I mean? I know how to get things done quick. But like this moat, like out here, that 79 shovel head, I'll do a lot of that myself. That's a fairly simple, shouldn't say simple. It's not as high tech as a lot of the stuff is. That's there's a little more basic, so to speak. Those old bikes, it's the motor, it's a tranny. There's some, you know, brake lights and a headlight, and that's it. It's not all fancy. So, and I went to MMI before I ever got into wrestling. I actually graduated Harley Davidson Mechanic School.
Oh, wow. Nice. Hell yeah.
Certification. No way, early model, dude. Late model,
and V Rod Abuel.
Wow. Dude, that's so badass.
Yeah, I got it certified and all that.
Dude, that is sick.
I just never really did it. It kind of took the fun out of it.
But the whole point is now you know how, like, that's just something to say that you know how to do it. And that's like the best part, because if not, you have to learn from some old head, and they're so hard to come by. Like, some guy that's willing to be like, "Hey son, come sit in my shop and learn how to like work on bikes." You don't really come across people like that anymore. And I would say yes.
That's cool though, because you'll be able to, you know, it, like, now. No,
it's there. Few. It's hard to find someone that kept that kind of.
And it's someone to trust too. Like, people don't realize, like, to have someone work on your bike, it's someone that you have to really trust, because if they don't put a screw on them right, say goodbye. There is no like, "Oh, I got a roll cage," or "I got doors," or "a frame." Nah, if something's not done right or tightened the right way, it's a disaster. That's why motorcycle mechanics, like, you find a good one, you keep for the rest of your life, because, I mean, they're hard to come by. What do you think, Garrett? I think he's on a little bit of a lag.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's when you find that guy that you definitely trust. I mean, it's not like being in a car. But, you know, you don't get a whole lot of. There's not a lot of great.
And the internet is, look like it's not working so well.
Did I lose you?
Yeah, it's a little choppy. Yeah, that's all right though. So, how long do you think that'll take you? Like, I just, because I'm curious. I'm not good at any of that kind of stuff, man. I pay everybody to do everything because I'm just horrible. Instead of
5 years.
You think?
That's what he said.
Oh, okay. Man, that's awesome. But that's got to be a great feeling, though, to put something like do a restore on a bike like that. And then when it's done, you're riding around. People are like, where'd you get that? Oh, it was in pieces a few years ago. I did this.
I could not imagine.
Probably.
Oh, did he come in? He came in for a second. And no.
Let's try this.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's all right, though. We'll keep going until he until it settles down and he can be on there. Yeah, I couldn't do any of that. Because you... Oh, cat, don't do that. You like, do audio stuff to your stuff, White Ross. Like, you go more, like, the audio route with customizing.
I do everything, but I don't... Like, again, I don't do it myself because...
Right, no, yeah.
But, like... I could work on like an old Ford truck. I could take out like the starter
and
do that type of stuff. But
you're good, brother.
These new age stuff, I can't do. Cavacito, it's okay, buddy.
So yeah, hey, real quick, while we have a kind of a little break here, while Garrett's getting situated, introduce your friend here. Your new.
I don't know where he's at right now.
Oh, did he run off already? Oh, I was gonna say he was already kind of on screen, but we haven't actually introduced him yet.
No, he has to go to the bathroom because he's whining right now. So,
puppy dad,
might be time we might be winding this bad boy up, or I might be cleaning up poop.
Puppy dad, oh, you're gonna be cleaning so much poop up. So, okay, Cafecito, like a cafe, right? Cafecito,
Cafecito.
And he's on Instagram,
yeah, Cafecito.
So, everybody, follow him on Instagram,
Cafecito, come here,
proud new parents,
come here.
Dude, this guy, like he's going to be your shadow. I can already tell you this.
He follows me everywhere. He has, I think, over 200 followers.
That a boy. Look at that Cafecito. Get on that mic, brother. Look at it. He's like, I want to talk, Dad.
Yeah, he just got on the IG. I monetize all of his things, so any puppies that want to send inappropriate puppy stuff, it's not going to get past Daddy. I control
going
all this
down.
Social media, so... No nude puppy shots. Nope.
He's no nipple shots.
No.
He's adorable, though. He made the flight okay. He slept on the flight, you said?
Slept the whole entire time.
That's amazing. He is adorable, man. I'm so happy you guys got this look at
him. And he loves his daddy. Where did Garrett go?
I think he's just getting situated, getting his stuff. Well, let's do this till he comes back. Dan's asking what kind of breed he is. By the way, Dan, I see your comments. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for hanging out with us. When we have guests on, I tend to not put a lot of the comments up there just so we can focus, Dan. So sorry. Dan's a good Dan follows my other show too, and he's a great guy. Big wrestling guy.
Thing, like Ace will tell you, sometimes when we, especially when we have guests, we get a little sidetracked, and it's hard to like. Well, we love the questions and comments and stuff like that, especially when it's just me and Big Ace. But when we have a guest, it's too much going on, and we try to always keep it where we have a good flow to this. Are you in the garage?
No, I just had to go. My computer died, and then I was trying to switch over my phone. So obviously it's the phone. So let me go kill that phone real quick, and I'll be right back.
Yeah, right on, no brother. Worries.
Anyways, Dan was asking to breed.
We were right, weren't we right? We were right.
Phones aren't the best. Phones don't work.
We do this podcast enough where we can tell when, hey, you're on your phone, bud. We can tell.
So what's the breed again?
He is.
It's a mix, obviously.
Pitbull.
He's a beautiful dog.
Yeah, he's my little baby. And he's biting my arm.
Oh yeah, the puppy teething, bro. That's a thing. It's great. It's great. Enjoy that, because my cat bites me, and it's actually it hurts, and he's an asshole for it.
So where did I lose you guys at there, the last one?
Well, we were talking about the bikes, and Bus was talking about finding a good bike repair man and someone you can trust on that.
Yeah. So yeah, to find a good mechanic that you trust is absolutely dire, because you don't have the forgiveness of a steel cage wrap around you. So. And like the car mechanics, there's plenty of shitty bike mechanics that say they can do things that they don't really know what to do. So finding that guy that you trust to really you know, to put your life in his hands. You gotta, once you find him, you stick with it.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing I want to say is how crazy me and your dad are. Our dads are best friends. Or I wouldn't say best friends, but they're pretty damn good friends.
They're pretty tight.
They're pretty tight. That's pretty cool, huh? I wish they got to go out to dinner or out to lunch, and I was so mad that I didn't get to go. And I was like so jealous that like you guys all went out to lunch without me.
We went to a good little Italian place that your dad liked.
Nice.
Oh, hell so yeah. Jealous.
Hell yeah. So now, jealous. When, because you have that, we told the story when your dad was on here, Wes, about him watching you at Impact, kind of hanging out like in the upper area away from all the fans, and him running into Garrett's dad, and those two ended up watching the show together and having some beers watching you guys. So you, because your dad wasn't like actually on, right, at that point, or was he on? Were you at wrestling at that point with Impact too, then, Garrett, that night?
That was Tampa.
It was where?
It was USF Sundom.
Arizona. Yeah, that was the show there. So, yeah, we were there. We were on. What's up, Nick?
Oh, yeah, speaking of guys, I was going to just mention Nick. I was going to be like,
What's up? Yeah, you're right. It was this down there or over there in Arizona. He was not on TV at that point. He was not on TV at that point. He was just behind the scenes. And yeah, they both snuck up into the way up into a box or where nobody could see or spot them.
Yeah, because if my dad would have got caught, he would have got fired.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So yeah, he was still there.
It had to be super, super low key. And my dad knew that he could trust Eric, and like Eric wouldn't say any like you got to think, like, to trust someone to be able, like, you know, that's huge in the wrestling business, and especially like, you know, my dad be able to trust Eric and be like, hey, I'm here, and Eric be like, hell yeah, and then like he told my dad go sit down, because Eric always used to watch the show from the crowd, because he always likes to see how the crowd interact with the matches. Like, he liked to get that perspective. And so happens, you know, he ran to my dad, and you know, my dad loves Eric and trusts Eric to death. And you know, like, of course no one ever knows the story. Stop it, Campesito. But us, because it's something that would always go to the grave, because Eric's such a, you know, good friend. But for them to sit down, have beers, watch the rest of the show, my dad leave, and nobody knew. Nobody, I'm talking about nobody knew, not even Dixie Carter. Nobody had a clue. The only person that knew was me, Garrett, his dad, and my dad. That was the only people that knew. And that's pretty crazy. To hold a secret like that is pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I can't speak for your dad, but I know how my old man is. His circle is about this big, you know what I mean? And it's not because he doesn't like people. He just, it is what it is. He's been around this stuff his whole life, and it is, you know, and I think your dad's the same way. But that being said, your dad is, I mean, our dads, they're in each other's tight circles like that. And it's been that way since, you know, ever since, you know, and when my dad was at WWE, they hung out, they went and hung out together after shows. They didn't go do, you know, whatever everybody else was doing. And you know, my dad very, very much respects, you know, man, and there's, it's cool. I'm, you know, it's cool to see that they have that friendship and still have kept it to this day. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's easy to make that relationship with any guy or any worker when you're there, but when your time is up and you're not there anymore, it's easy to just to kind of drift, you know, not communicate or anything. But they still do. They still talk and hang out.
Yeah, and that's when the bonds are like the most important, is when you get to that age where you can call one of your friends that are one of your old time partners that, you know, like, because there's not too many people that like go through what we go through that we can bond with, that you don't really got to say much. We can just kind of just hang out and just smile or shoot the shit. And that's all that needs to be said. We don't need a 30 minute or hour long conversation. It's just more like, you know,
what's up? How's the wife? How's the kid? How's the fishing? How's the weather?
Exactly. It's, you know,
another beer. All right, cool. Catch you on the next one.
Right.
Well, what's cool about it too is that now we're seeing two generations of that friendship.
Yeah,
that's even cooler right now. You know what I mean?
Ain't ever gonna die, dude. We're boys for life.
Absolutely.
But we're getting close to that time. Is there anything that you would like to plug? Is there, you know, anything you'd like to, you know, where people can follow you at, where people can get your merchandise at? Just kind of, is there anything you would like to throw out there real quick before we
end? No, you know, I'm pretty, you know, I'm one of those. It is what it is. If I see you on the road, I got some shirts. You want to grab one, you know, I'll have them. My Twitter account is actually, I don't know what's going on. I'm fighting and arguing with Twitter right now for them to like give it back to me. I don't know what. They just took it away. It's not there anymore. It's there if somebody else goes to it, but I can't get it. I can't get access to it. So I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. But you know, my Instagram is Garrett Bischoff. You won't see, you know, you see a little bit of wrestling stuff on there, but you see mostly more you'll see more of me and my dog, or, you know, sitting on the boat or out riding the Harleys with the boys, or, you know, that kind of stuff.
See, that's what I like. That's the same with mine. It's like every once in a while, unless it's a really good action shot of me, I'm not posting it. Unless there's a lot of shots of me and you on my Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. But
other than that, it's like, yeah, I'm kind of picky on what goes on there.
I tried to get a picture for the show and it wasn't downloading for some reason, but it was Garrett throwing Wes over his head in the ring. I was like, that's a great shot. Let's use this one during the show.
I want to see that one. Which one?
I know. I couldn't. For some reason, it just wasn't downloading. I don't know what the deal was, man.
What'd you do, Wes? Who'd you talking and not showing that?
Yeah. He's in there behind the scenes.
Garrett had to throw me over his shoulders and run out.
No, I mean, like I said, I don't do a whole lot of I have one upcoming event this weekend, ARW, up there in Melbourne, you know, Atomic Revolution Wrestling. We got going up. I'll be working with Sin Bodhi, and he's a cool dude. I can't wait. Yeah, he's a different kind of cat, but he's been around too. He was one of the first guys I met, you know, coming into this game long time ago. He's an incredible worker. So I'm looking forward to it.
How funny is that? When I first got signed with WWE, he was one of my first matches that I had in developmental.
He's been in the game for a long time. He's one of those guys that's been around for a hot minute. He's great in the ring. He really knows his stuff. So it'll be a good one. That one's this Saturday, like I said. So, but other than that, I don't have anything on the books. That's kind of the last one I committed to for a while at least. You know, working the real jobs Monday through Friday. My weekends are precious to me. So,
right.
I like to spend them hanging out here. You know, like a beautiful backyard and a pool, and you know, my wife and I just picked up a new little boat, so we got a nice 17 foot Sunbird bow rider with 115 horse, you know, Evinrude on it. So I'm looking forward to kind of spending our days out on Three Ricker Island and just hanging out, and you know, and then jump on the bike with the boys and do some riding.
And then every once in a while, people, you can book us to do autograph signings. We have been doing a lot of Aces and Eights reunion autograph signings, and those have been doing really well. And it's a guarantee that we can get probably, it's not always a guarantee, but me, Garrett, Nuxie, Doc, and then D-Lo, those are pretty much the guys that are pretty much committed that we are doing some Aces and Eights reunion stuff. So if you guys do want to book the Aces and Eights guys, we're more than welcome to come out and do autograph signings and stuff like that. And the success with those have been really, really well. So we are, you know, always open for the Aces and Eights reunion bookings.
Yeah. My email is info@onebadcat.com. You know, that's on my Twitter page. That's where you can reach out to me for booking inquiries, and, you know, Wes, whatever yours is. And if we can make it happen, I'm always down to do a reunion.
Hell yeah, dude. It'd be great to get that up here in Minnesota. That's what we got to do. You know, next time you up here, anytime you're up here, Gary, you hit me up, man. I'll come on and have some beers with you.
I got family up there. I got a lot of family up there. So it'd be good to get back up there and see some family.
Hell yeah, man. You hit me up when you're in town, and we'll have some good times.
Oh, yeah, I want to get up there and pull some pull tabs. It's one thing I miss about Minnesota.
Hell yeah. The most
nobody down here knows what pull tabs are.
Really? I didn't know that. Wes, do you know what a pull tab is?
No, but Tubby is whining still. And we're almost to the hour mark.
So Pup's got to go out. Okay, he doesn't know what a pull tab is. I got to teach him that someday, and that's crazy. I didn't know that, Garrett. Thank you for letting me know that. So, yeah, we'll do some pull tabs when you're up here next, bro.
I like it. I like it.
All right, guys. I'll be in Iowa Saturday, IPW 20th anniversary show. Make sure you check that out if you're in the Midwest. I'll be out there maybe helping with some commentary and doing some filming for them. It's going to be a great show. And Wes, we'll be back next week. Again, VOC Nation. Make sure you check it out. Official partners now. It was announced this week. We're glad to be a part of the VOC Nation with the great talent they have. So make sure you watch for some cool announcements of what we're going to be doing with those guys as well going forward. Again, find us online. Briscoe and Big Ace Show. Follow us, share it, subscribe it, all that stuff. Dan, thanks for hanging out. Nick, thanks for hanging out. And you're right, I do need to get down to Florida and see all you guys and hang out again. It's been way too long. So we're going to make that all happen. Everybody, enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you soon on the Briscoe and Big Ace Show.
Rock and roll.
Hey, this is a Total Package, Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Boo Ray Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th, featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also appearing, the Rock and Roll Union house band Shades of Grey, playing all of your favorites from the 60s to now. All COVID regulations will be in place. Tickets are available at eventbrite.com and are extremely limited, so get them before they run out. Doors open at 6 and showtime is at 7. Rat Rod, As We Become Ghosts, and Shades of Grey. Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th at Boo Ray, 201 South New York Avenue, Atlantic City. Did I mention there's free parking? Don't miss it.
Yo, this is Jerry Stiles of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.